makes you frisky. Gin makes you sin. Wine makes you nutty. But I'll try them all over again. Cognac keeps you peppy. Rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink.
She's just
a but it'll keep you on the run.
She's still drinking.
Whenever you want to drink a drink, choose the drink that pleases you. Drink your mash. Talk your trash. That is the right thing to do. Lats, champagne makes you happy. Vodka keeps you thin. Tequila.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Popping Bottles.
We're in it, baby.
If you can hear my voice, you probably know my name. It's Josh Agovia. I am, I'll say the host. I'm not the only host, but I am the host of a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages. The way this podcast works is I start a podcast. And then immediately I bring on my co-host by the name of...
It's me, Rob Grabowski. I'll get on the bar back. Hashtag not Rob.
Yeah, hashtag get that. Rob, how are you?
Josh, I'm well. It's been a long weekend.
Oh, so long.
I did something I haven't done. Not only did I do shows this weekend, I went out afterwards and hung out for a little bit, which is wild. I can't believe we were out until almost 2 on Friday.
My
goodness.
It ruined my Saturday.
I got so mad when the bill came.
Oh.
I was like, I didn't need this. Now I'm tired and I'm drunk and I spent money.
Yeah.
But I'll do it again.
Yeah. Baby. It was fun. Good hangout.
Yeah, it was a fun hang.
No, good, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Snows in the air?
Snows in the air. Has it been sticking yet? I saw it. Did you guess who we won't name quite yet? Was it snow when you came in?
Yeah, it was snowing when I came in.
Is it sticking to the ground yet?
It's not sticking to the ground yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the weather report with Rob.
Gotta check in.
I'm pretty good myself.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm 8 years married.
Oh, yeah. Happy belated anniversary.
Thank you.
Anniversary.
Yeah, it was an anniversary very recently.
Yeah.
I celebrated by overeating. And as I do every holiday and or celebration.
Any occasion you can find.
That's right. It's Friday. I'll overeat.
You want to shout out the restaurant you went to? We talked a little off.
Oh, yeah. I went to Gene and Giorgetti's, Chicago, the one under the L.
Yeah.
Yeah, steakhouse, Chicago style. It was pretty good. Yeah, you know, you hear mixed things. It's very old school. It's nothing phenomenal. Like, it was just like... You can see why it's been in business for so long.
I like that it clearly looks like it was a house that was there first before the tracks came.
Also, it was a lot bigger than I thought. So you go downstairs, there's a bar immediately.
Oh, I didn't go downstairs.
You started in downstairs. That's where you come in.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, before you go upstairs.
Did you go upstairs?
I'm stupid. Yes, sir. I know upstairs work.
I don't know how you do. So there's dining rooms downstairs. And then upstairs, we were like in that first room. It was like wood paneling, very dark, very lovely. And then there's a second room. On the other side, it's like almost a library.
Yeah.
It's like very bright. And I was like glad we weren't in there. And also, Aaron was like, it's business casual. We have to, like, you know, not look like schlubs. And people are in there with like their sweats and backwards hats.
It upsets
like,
me a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Bit.
Well, like, I guess it doesn't really matter.
I'm going to put a suit coat on, but get a nice shirt for crying out loud.
Yeah, tuck in, wear a sweater.
Yeah.
Socks food was great. The calamari, by far the standout. I'll go back there just for that.
Wow.
Love.
I got to go back.
Yeah, you got to go back. Guess who we haven't named it? You ever been?
I've not been there, no.
A fan of calamari.
I've had calamari, and it's I like calamari, and it's interesting because I feel like calamari is always good, but it's like it's always just calamari. So when someone says, this is exceptional calamari, I'm like, what do you mean? I have to go find out.
Yeah, we that's usually our go-to appetizer, if they have it, because we had to try it. Maggiano's has our most consistently good one. So like you go somewhere and it's like, wow, this is amazing. But you go back and it's like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Maggiano's, their record was like high. And then this place, I mean, we have to go back because it was the best calamari we've had of recent noting.
I feel like Maggiano, knows.
I haven't had calamari in forever.
What? Why not?
Because I haven't been going places.
Oh, yeah?
I don't want to
You ever bring it home?
It could be like lukewarm.
Bring it home and chop it up?
You're more turf than surf, though, in general.
Yeah. That is true.
But he's also a turf in a different way.
Hang on. It's a different podcast.
And we have a wonderful guest by the name of...
Jeff Garceau. Happy to be here. I am not a turf.
Yeah, you burned all your Harry Potter books, is that
right? As we all did,
exactly.
Along with all those books about their religion.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to your background later. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great. I'm feeling good in my body. Life is good, and I'm glad that it's snowing. I think we had a beautiful fall, and I'm ready for winter.
I like snow around the holidays, so I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
You said we had a beautiful fall, and we did. It's not done yet.
It's not done yet. In fact, we're like only
Yeah.
About halfway through. The calendar kind of says at the midway point right now.
December 20th.
But I'm from the Upper Midwest, so like winter starts around November 15th.
Correct.
And then you're blanket me, baby.
Lasts until May 1st. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Shout out all the uppers, youpers.
Yeah, shout out to the youpers, shout out to the UP.
Yeah.
All 4,700 of us.
The other hand high-fiving the mitten.
That's right, exactly.
Is that what we say? Can we
no,
start
saying it's, that? It's actually, if you look at it, and we're looking at a picture of it right now, it's a bunny rabbit.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
It's, yeah, see, it's like it's leaping. It's got its
over the hand, legs. Trying
yeah,
to grab it.
Exactly, yeah. It's going over the hand. It's averting the grasp. Of the
now, you say bunny rabbit, but the UP to me looks like the ship of Flostin Paradise.
Yeah, I can see that too.
That's the first thing I see when I look at it, and the last thing I think of before I go to bed. Jeff, what beverage have you chosen to talk about with us today?
I have chosen Hofbräu Original.
Ooh.
Hofbräu Original.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And...
Oh, sure.
Go ahead.
No, was there more?
I thought we were coming here to talk about it. So.
That's it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed your workout or your drive.
Yeah, I chose Hofbräu Original. It is one of my two favorite beers.
Ooh, what's the other one?
Oberon, which I would have chosen, but it's out of season. You can't really find it anymore. Yeah.
You can, but it's not right.
Shout out
Silver. It's past its peak. Yeah, yeah, Hofbräu is
I thought this was 12 ounces. It's 11.2 fluid ounces, or 330 milliliters of beer.
Yes.
So we have the bottles, obviously. But let's taste it. We'll talk about what we taste. Prost.
Prost. Prost. Yeah, prost.
And is in all tastings, you're not wrong. What you taste is what you taste.
Man, that's good. It's like just hoppy enough, but it's still light. Mm-hmm. I think I haven't had it until you came over for our dirty work.
Yeah.
Dirty.
I've just forgotten. It's a good beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it.
It's just bitter enough to get you to want to have another sip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it does have a slight bitterness to it. But not in a bad way.
No.
Like in a
I wouldn't have even thought about that
way.
Until you said it. Because I don't like bitterness too much in person and drink some food. But I didn't click until you said something. It's like, it's right there.
Yeah.
It's not too strong.
Great beer flavor. And we'll get into the history. Before we get to your history with it, let's get into a little bit of the history of the Hofbräu.
Yes.
Original. German lager, Helles style, 5.1 ABV. Taking it back to 1589, the current Duke of Bavaria, Wilhelm V, answers the call of his people who are sick of importing beer. Because the local beer is so trash. Mm-hmm. He says, please, please, please give us beer. He says, fine. He starts a new brewery. That's the National Brewery. Using the purity laws, which again, former guest, Becca Bearish, a person of the faith, asked us not to bring up purity laws in Germany to her. as well she should.
That's fair.
But that includes four ingredients, barley, yeast, hops, and water from Munich. And they start Hofbräuhaus, the official royal brewery, and this original beer that we're enjoying now.
Royal Brewery of Bavaria, when Bavaria was its own, own nation.
When they're doing their own thing.
I didn't know that.
1602, Wilhelm's son, Maximilian I, added his favorite style of beer to the brewery.
Love it.
Weissbier. He loved Weissbier so much, wheat beer, that he made it illegal for private breweries to make it. And thus held a monopoly for quite some time, enriching himself in the process.
Good for Max.
1614, a new brewmaster brewed their first Maibock beer. Maybe the first Maibock beer ever?
I believe it. I believe Hofbräu has the oldest Maibock.
Yeah.
They claim some of the oldest, but Bavaria has a lot of very old beers, but they have a pretty solid claim on the Maibock.
History is written by the winners.
Yeah.
What's for those maybe don't know, what's a Maibock beer again?
It's a dark lager.
Got it.
I mean, it's probably the way I describe it.
Did you ever watch Thor: The Dark World?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how the dark elves were there? Well, they probably drink a dark lager.
Oh,
yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah. If you're not a Marvelhead, you might not get it.
Yeah.
In 1810, a wedding celebration grew into the first Oktoberfest.
Oh.
And it was also where we had the first Hofbräu Oktoberfest beer. In 1828, they finally started to allow their beer to be sold to non-royals and the general public.
Oh.
They're like, hey, everybody get some of this.
Yeah.
And in fact, and this is not in my notes, but I read about it, so it's interesting. They lowered the price of the beer so that even the poorest people could get some of this delicious Hofbräu beer. Fast forward to World War II. There was a little skirmish.
Really?
Yeah, Germany at the time. which, you know, the Nazis kicked it at Hofbräu back in the day.
Sure.
Got bombed. They rebuilt it. But American GIs started enjoying their delicious beer, bringing home souvenirs, not just Nazi flags. They also brought back Hofbräu mugs, making it, as it reopened and regrew, it made it an international tourist destination. Mm-hmm. They were, like, raving about this beer when they get home. You know, scarcity is, like, one of the best ways to sell something.
Yeah.
So this led Hofbräu to become a huge international tourist destination, and they eventually started opening up breweries around the world. This was way later. In Italy was the first non-German Hofbräuhaus. Then Australia, then six more in Germany, sort of franchising it. And eventually in 2003, getting to the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Where currently there are 8 Hofbräu breweries, including the one in Chicago, Rosemont, that opened in 2013.
Nice.
And they have 4 brew gardens, where they don't actually brew the beer, but they sell it and they make the food. So they're more like a restaurant. The brewery that they opened in Las Vegas is an exact replication of the flagship brewery in Munich. Like, it's huge.
Have you been
there, but I saw a picture, and I was like, this looks exactly the same. It was that meme where it was corporate wants to tell you the difference between these two pictures. They're the same picture. They also have breweries in Bangkok, Seoul, Dubai, and Brazil.
Man.
So international.
They are now, worldwide.
Dang.
Yeah. And was there was a Hofbräu garden. Was that? Oh, no, that was Uberstein in Wrigleyville. Remember that? Before
that
was Sweet Baby Ray's.
But they served
a lot of Hofbräu there.
Yeah.
Which is probably, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
So that's a little bit of the history of Hofbräu beer. We want to know your history with Hofbräu original.
My history with Hofbräu beer.
In a segment we call.
First time, last time.
Last time.
So I want to hear about the first time you ever had it and the last time you ever had it.
Okay.
Not counting right now.
All right. So the first time I had Hofbräu beer actually was not a very noteworthy thing. I just tried. It was when I was trying to get into better beers. But it was, I was already like drinking, you know, brown ales and stuff like that, like and wheat ales. I'd started in college.
When was this? Like, how old were you?
Oh, like, you know, 27. And I mean, I wasn't just drinking High Life anymore, but I was basically sticking to, like, you know, Newcastle brown ales and like wheat beers. Like, I wasn't, and I started getting the IPAs, and IPAs were like really coming on then, and I do like them, but I became kind of overwhelmed with IPAs, and it felt like,
lot,
and now
man.
It's still to this day that it's starting to change, but like in the last couple of years, but I feel like we had like a good 5-6 years there where it was just IPAs, and it was like, ours is even more bitter.
Yeah.
You thought that was bitter, this is even more bitter.
No, bitters.
Like, I don't think everyone's like, kind of like, quality is based on how floral and bitter it is. And I was like, I don't think everyone else drinks this stuff. And other people have been drinking very good beer in other areas of the world for a long time.
Quite a long time.
I hear Germany knows a thing or two. And so I started going to the international section of liquor stores, you know, and... And that's where you have, like, a lot of those, like, especially, like, Abbey, like an individual, like, Monk Abbey,
makes
that's where it's, like, $25 a bottle. And I was, like, you know, I was in my 20s. It was beyond my price point. But Hofbräu was a little bit more expensive than what I was normally buying. But I was, like, you know, this looks good. I'll try it. And I thought it was just a revelation when I first drank it because it is so easy drinking and, I mean, it drinks like a Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, you could just drink, like, you could throw back, like, several of these.
And I like a Miller Lite.
Yeah,
this
I do too.
This is 100 times better.
It's that easy drinking and so much better flavor.
Oh.
And so the sort of, I had tried a couple times here, but then my big revelation with it and Bavarian beer in general was when I went graduated from grad school.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What did you major in? Where'd you go?
I went to Loyola University Chicago and have a master's in public policy.
Oh, nice.
Very smart.
Thank you. That was...
Oh, I see that you brought it with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sticking out of your pocket. It's framed. It's sticking out of your pocket.
Oh, this thing?
Just my master's.
That was several years ago, but I had never, one of the things I never did in undergrad that I, you know, wish I had done was study abroad. I never traveled abroad a few times, but never.
Where you been?
Been to Australia, been to Central America and stuff like that. So I've never, I've always gone with like family, you know,
yeah,
and I've never just like traveled abroad alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I'm going to do for my little grad school present to myself. I'm going to buy myself a little week-long trip just to, like, a country.
Gap week.
Yeah, and I'm a gap week. And I'm going to do gap week because I'm an adult and I have a job. And I'm going to do a gap week just in some country that I've never visited. And just like, and I just decided to do Germany. It was going to be a fall trip. And I looked into Oktoberfest. And I looked at Oktoberfest, and then I looked the week after Oktoberfest, and everything was half as expensive in Munich.
Yep.
Week after. Like, so the weather's just as exact. It's all the same vibe.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
One-fifth the number of people and one-half the cost.
Can
sounds
I still get
great.
The same beer?
Oh,
yeah, I can't.
All
okay,
the same beer.
That's why this guy was getting asked.
Yeah. He's and smart. So I went the week, I can't remember, what year did I go? 2017? So I went on that October, the week after Oktoberfest, which is the first week of October so it goes a full week, so it goes from the very end of September into the very beginning of October in Munich. And my first place I went after checking into my hotel was to walk into the, I was staying in this like charming little hotel just on the outskirts of the old part of the city. Very old, but it's not like the super, super old original part.
Yeah.
That's like outside, it was outside the walls. So like in the middle of the city are these big walls that just are like covering the old part of the city. And I walked into that part of the city. I was super like jet lagged and like could not go to sleep. And so I went to the,
what's the hour difference?
It's like 9 hours.
Yeah.
So pretty, it's pretty bad. It's not, it's far less bad on the way there. Coming back's far worse. But, on the way there, it was still pretty bad. And cause I also took the red eye. So I was, it was like, you know, 3 PM and I just was like punch drunk. And I ended up going to the original headquarters down there. And it was just like you walk in and it's just like people sitting at these long galley tables, big, huge steins
of
beer,
baby.
Talking and yelling, and beer wenches coming over and like giving them giant pretzels with like mustard. And I just was like, oh, this is what I wanted. I sat down and had two giant mugs and was hammered and walked back. And thing I learned when I was so I had a ton of great beer in Bavaria.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, I've arrived like in this place, right? And one of the things I learned is that you talked about the water, like standards, the water purification standards, that is very, very serious stuff. And the quality of the ingredients, including the purification of the water that goes into not just Hopfrau, but all Bavarian made beers, is so high that this one of the reasons you can drink it and not be hungover.
Mm.
And I learned that there. I was in Germany.
Yeah.
Weather was kind of poor, so I drank a lot of beer, you throw a lot back, and you feel fine in the morning because the ingredients are so high, I've been a big Hopfrau advocate ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, the original stuff too.
Yeah.
Source.
I mean, because I'm sure it's like, I'm still just pretty close, but like it's gonna get a little diluted just a little bit maybe when they're brewing it here or like in Australia or where have you.
Yeah, for sure. But they still have to, because they have the Hopfrau label, they have to stick to the same standards.
Absolutely.
That all Bavaria, like, not just, like, anyone who's making beer in Bavaria, like, the government regulations are super high, and Hopfrau brand,
and this one is from Germany.
Yeah,
so it's
we get a lot of imports from Germany.
This is just good.
Yeah, and as far as quality, like, you know, drinking this out of the bottle here, it tastes just the same as there. Very, very good beer.
Wow. What was the last time you had one, besides right now?
It was a couple weeks ago in the same place.
In the same house?
Yeah, in the same place.
Under the chandelier?
Yeah, now we had their Hopfrau Dunkel.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was
kind of a Bock.
Yeah.
So darker, but not like a porter or a stout. Not, you know, that thick, but...
Yeah.
And we were over here because our beloved Norm MacDonald passed away.
What?
A while ago.
Josh, I'll tell you later.
We're all, you know, busy adults working. So it took us a while to figure out a day that worked, but we finally got together to watch Dirty Work in memoriam.
What a good time.
And so I brought over some Hopfrau.
Classic film.
Great. That's the last time I had Hopfrau.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice. Aw. I can't believe he died.
I know. It's a shame, right?
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have.
All right. Well, good night.
A life well lived.
How am I get my sports tweets?
Yeah.
Just a solid sports tweeting bit.
I'm still watching a bunch of his clips online. Also, yes. Follow, like, I'm Not Norm on YouTube. I don't know who the guy is, but he finds great clips.
Great, great clips.
It led me, I went on a rabbit hole of him, then to John Rickles.
Yeah.
So I was like, yep, I'm fine. This will kill an hour.
Yeah, for sure.
Rob, same question to you. First time, last time. Delicious Hofbräu. Original.
Well, excuse me.
Oh, God.
The first time, man, I don't know, but it must have been similar vein with Jeff here that I was probably in my mid to late 20s. Looking for, he's being polite, he doesn't want to chew on air, like yeah. I was. but probably one of these faux German places we have around here, or maybe even real places, like that one place in Wrigleyville you talked of, or I think it's still down in Lincoln Park, right off of, it's on Lincoln, off of Wrightwood, Probst, I want to say it's called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still there. We can get just like giant steins of this. Just like, even hell, even up at Hopleaf, I might have just found where I just get so overwhelmed with all these beer choices. And I'm a simple man. I just like, what is, and I think, hell, it might have been you or AJ or someone else being like, oh, just get a Hofbräu. It's easy. And I think this must have been the first time. But as I said, I'm a simple man, so I forget about beers. And then when you brought it for Dirty Work, I was like, oh, yeah, Hofbräu. I got to keep this in my memory more often because it is delish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, first time some point in my mid-20s trying to figure out what beer I like beyond just, like, the shit water. And then last week was, pour one out for old Norm MacDonald. How about you, Josh?
R.I.P. I don't remember the exact first time, but, similarly, so, like, you know, in college where you have themed things, we would do a lot of themed parties. So I imagine it would have been there. We would have got German beer for, like, an Oktoberfest thing. I don't remember specifically it being served at the various places I worked.
Yeah.
So I would have had to.
The night of the Long Knives party?
Huh?
Nothing.
I heard Long Lives party?
Yeah, yes, Long Lives. Yes.
But, yeah. It was probably some other comedian's death. One of those definitely, but my most early. One of my fondest memories is going to Uberstein in Wrigleyville. And just like. Because you could get a liter, and like, man, I just had one.
Man, well, they must have. What was that? Oh, what was that place in Lincoln Square? Brewhouse?
Brajas, yeah.
Brajas. They must have had it. I know we went.
We could get it by, and you could get it by the big, boot. Like 32, 34 ounce boot.
And I know we went before it closed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dunk House up there in the square has community nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, and they have that old, they have the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, they took the bar from the. When it closed,
I didn't realize that.
They put it up on the roof.
Oh.
So, like, my roommate went there just the other day, like, on Tuesday. And, it was Thursday. And I forget, it's, like, twice a month they have, like, community nights. And they sell Hofbräu.
Oh, shit.
And people just hang out at tables and, like, shoot the shit. It's kind of like you were saying. There's no long tables. It's clearly not Germany. But, but I didn't go with her. So that wasn't the last time. But going to Uberstein and, like, crushing those, doing shot skis.
Yeah.
Just ripping it up, eating pretzels, like, you know, getting real cubsy before a game.
Of course. As is tradition.
Yeah. And then the last time, so we did the Oktoberfest special show, the live show.
Oh, yeah.
And we drank their Oktoberfest beer.
Oh, yeah. What won? Do you remember? Did we vote?
I think Half Acres won.
That checks out.
It was more because this is just like good beer.
This
one was like a little more. But yeah, I almost bought the little keg.
Oh.
For the like the $25 keg.
Little growler.
Yeah. I almost bought it because I thought what a showpiece that would be like. Whip that out. But also I wanted to drink it again before I didn't want to tap the keg the day before because I wanted to try it for the cocktail. But yeah, that was probably the last time I had, because I remember we were there and I was like, oh yeah, Hofbräu makes good beers.
Yeah, they do.
Getting it at a brewery or something, a beer bar. Hello, I'm drunk.
Hello.
But yeah, just great stuff, man. I gotta go to Germany. I gotta do.
Yeah, I want to.
The very least, get up to Rosemont.
Yeah,
at the
I'll go to that.
The official
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Well, hearing you talk about a friend of the show, Johnny Nelson, who goes to Germany almost like twice a year.
He loves it.
He was talking about it too. Yeah. I think he went to Munich as well. It just sounded like, man, I gotta go.
Yeah,
I quit being him and hawing about it.
No, like, it's a real like it's a Munich and like Bavaria is like particularly a very very good vibe when you think so much of like if you think of Germany being you know about. beer and sausage and pretzels and the Alps and like those beautiful sort of you know, brick and mortar houses and stuff like that. That is just what Bavaria is, and there's some really great castles there. Yeah, it's just a very, very welcoming vibe. If you're from the if you're from the upper Midwest, like we are, like you're just, you're very familiar this is kind of where, yes, this is where a lot of our people came from. It's like, they just brought all this over.
There was a lot of Czech and German settlers in Texas, too, where I'm from.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And their, like, beers kind of came through.
Mm-hmm.
Scheinerbach was obviously one of them. One of their brewers was a immigrant. But, yeah, so I wasn't unfamiliar with the styles.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, when you're a young drinker, you're just like, this is what I drink.
It's this cheap. Is what I can afford. And I'm trying to get as drunk as possible rather than have something I really like. And so,
I'm not scared. I'm not.
I get this a beer, or I get this 30 case.
If you want really, really great German, I mean, again, we live in a big enough city that they just import like all the different great German beer. You don't have to drink anything here. But if you want to try really, really good local made in Chicago German beer, a Dovetail, no one comes close.
My God.
I mean, they just specialize in doing
Dovetail's great.
They do Bavarian and Austrian beers, and that is like what they do, and they do very, very, very well at it. Yeah,
you got a nice little tap room.
They do. Yeah. Be lovely.
Get a big old pretzel.
Yeah.
You're a big old pretzel?
You can get a big
new
pretzel.
Nickname for Big Pretzel.
No,
that's new Rob's nickname.
Oh, big old pretzel, or Bop. Hey, right, Boppy.
Right. Hello, everybody. So I talked about being a young drinker. We have a segment on the show where we want to know the first alcoholic beverage you ever had was, and it's called...
Whoop, whoop, pull over. Let me see that ID.
What was your first beverage?
I didn't have a driver's license the first time I had alcohol.
Oh.
The first time I had alcohol was Dr. McGillicuddy's Peppermint Schnapps.
Shout out friend of the show, Joel.
I was, what year did Scream come out? 97?
Yo, yeah.
Yeah, 96? So I was 12.
97? We'll look it up now.
Yeah, whatever that was. The summer that Scream came out.
The original Scream, not the new one coming out this year.
Yeah, the original Scream. I was either 11 or 12. And my buddy... 96. So I was 11 years old.
My buddy Eddie McGillicuddy.
Yeah. my buddy Scott and I, his dad had like a full bar. He had a full Packers bar downstairs.
Damn.
He had like a bar that like the leather back of the bar stools was like Green Bay, and his carpet was like a giant Packers, all green, a giant Packers logo on the bottom. It's not that uncommon.
No.
I want to dunk on him, but I would love that so much. Yeah. He was Cowboys related.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he had a fully portioned bar downstairs, and we were going to go see Scream, and we were just kind of like at that age, you know, 11, 12, 13, we start trying to pull some stuff. Shit, you know, and we went in there, and we're like looking at the stuff, and we were too afraid to try it, but we thought, oh, this peppermint schnapps, we were smelling everything, right? And you're 11, like, we open up, like, you know, the Jack Daniels, and we're like, oh, God, no, heavens, no, and who would ever drink that? But the peppermint schnapps, 11-year-old, like, I'm gonna try that. So we took a sip, and we're like, whoa. Took a little more. And we're like, it's clear, so we can dilute it with water, and he'll never know. You know? And for like half inch of a pint of peppermint schnapps, like, he would notice anyways.
The two ounces missing.
Exactly. And so, but we took a few swigs and diluted it down. And again, even though it was probably only drank about maybe a shot and a half between you, like per person, that's enough to get an 11-year-old feeling a little roasty. And then we wanted to go see Scream, but we had to talk his older sister into buying us tickets because, again, we were 11. It's an R-rated movie. So we drunkenly talked her into buying us tickets. And we went and just destroyed popcorn and Airheads while we were drunk and watch a movie that we were far too young to be seeing and really were freaking out and worried about we're going to get caught, of course, everything. But we did stay through the whole movie, and it was less fun than it could have been if we had just not been drunk, I think, for Scream.
But I think any other movie would have been fine.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of other movies would have been fine, but Scream was terrifying. And but that was the first time I've ever had alcohol.
Oh, I love it. Was the was your friend's sister who you had to convince to drive you? Was she like onto what you morons were doing?
I think so. Sure. I don't remember, but I probably told her.
How old was she?
She had to admit, now at that time you could, I think you, it was R if you were 17. So she was 17. Yeah,
sure. She's like, all right.
She was definitely driving and picked us up and everything. Yeah.
And how's Scott doing now?
He's great. Yeah, he's up. Right. I mean, we don't keep in a lot of touch anymore. But
let's call him on air right now.
Yeah, yeah. But
you want to play a game? Wrong one. Sorry, wrong number.
He was obsessed with horror films. And he had so off his little annex, off of the Packers bar, was a he had actually his dad install racks, and he had his own little like movie store, like his little like movie shop in his house that he displayed all his little VHS.
He had a carpet with Jason's mask.
It's all mostly scary movies and a few wrestling tapes. And
that tracks.
Yeah, it does track. So he's doing well though. He's back home.
Nice.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, Scott, we miss you. Moving on. We have another segment on the show. We've been laughing, having a good time, talking about uppers and downers.
Nothing of that.
More laughs.
Time to get serious. We have to imagine that this is not sitting around with us two chuckleheads, drinking from the bottle, not from the draft, in delicious Hofbräu original Munich beer. We want to know where your dream location is and what celebrity guests you're going to bring in a segment called...
I like this, but I'd rather be here.
I'd rather be here.
Okay. And
so time and space doesn't matter. It can be any point in time, anywhere, and you can bring any celebrity you want.
But I have to be drinking Hofbräu.
You gotta be drinking Hofbräu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've got two ideas. One that we can edit out if we decide to not go for this, right? Because we can edit things out.
But we won't. But please give
Josh.
Well, the first thing that came to mind, because you brought up that the Nazis did come out of Munich and actually did hang out at the original Hofbräu before it was bombed. But the same, I was like the same floor though. Like I was drinking beer on the same floor that the Nazis drank beer on, which is a little disturbing. But I thought, well, if time and space don't mean anything, could I go back in time to when he was just a young upstart and take Hitler out for some drinks and see if I could talk him out of it?
Oh, well, that's fine. That was my first thing. He's a celebrity, he's a well-known person, and that was my first thing. It's like, what if I got him smacked, and I'm a pretty opinionated person and think highly of my ability to make arguments, and I was like, what if I could talk him out of it? I mean, what if I could
change it just a little bit?
Not a lot. But you know, you kind of like
but now you're running up against what Rob believes.
But if I go back to like 1922, right, and I don't have to make a big like, what's the trajectory, right?
Yeah,
if I just get him going down a different path, I don't have to change all this.
No, because
of this hasn't happened yet. I just got to get him thinking a little bit of a different track and see, and who knows where he ends up.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's obviously a motivated person.
Yeah.
He could have maybe used his powers in some different way.
This is some public policy.
Yeah. That's my first reaction.
Pick up that painting brush.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this begs to the question. Like, would you get him to pursue something else? Would you get him to go into politics still, but, like, have different a POV on it?
I think I'd ask him what he wants to do. I wouldn't try to, but I would definitely try to steer him...
away from the genocide.
Away from the genocide. Off of Liebenstrom. Says plenty of land. Plenty of room. I've seen some things. Yeah. I've been some places. I can tell you that there's going to be enough room.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, we've got all these great things going. We've got air conditioning.
Oh.
We're gonna have, you know, like the advances in medicine are going to be vast.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna have
Phones. You're gonna have one in your pocket.
We're gonna have a social welfare state. It's gonna like the government's gonna provide health care. You know, it's gonna be great. So you know, you don't need to do all this stuff.
You don't need to make a skateboard.
And then I know he was like wanted to be an artist, but I think he clearly felt a need to like mass mobilize people to like agree with him. Mm. And so I just would kind of like steer him towards trying to convince people to agree with him on like other stuff. But I don't. I did not know about this segment before we did this, and sure. So this is a very not even a half baked idea. This is a quarter baked idea. Just try to talk him out of it. That's how I'm starting right now.
I like the idea of it though.
Yeah,
and it's better than like I'm going to go back and kill baby Hitler. It's like ramifications.
Now, I think to amend what we'll do, we'll do an exact
same
thing.
But then is it on me if I fail?
No, it's my fault. No, it's not.
And then if you do fail for whatever reason.
Then I can knock him off, right? Yeah.
Take care of him.
Because then he, like, you know, they had some of the brown shirts.
You can crush him with the Hofbrau barrel.
But the brown shirts were just like one drunk, fat, out of shape guy. So I was like, I could figure out a way to get around this guy and kill Hitler. Because I had a whole army of the SS, like, around him.
Yeah.
I think for you and me, we have to do the same thing, but we have to decide how we're going to convince Hitler to not do what he's going to do.
All right, fair.
Okay. It is a very reasoned, smart. Way with Jeff, but Rob, how are you going to convince Hitler not to do it?
How am I going to convince Hitler not to go through his whole thing?
And time and space doesn't matter.
No, I'm aware. I need a moment. So the first thing that came to my head, we're just pitching. The first thing that came to my head, I challenged him to a game of checkers. And if I win, he can't do any of the things he wants to do. He has ideas, like, you can't do that. But if he wins, he can still continue on, and then he can put my name on it as well. Like,
oh, no,
that's a lot of trouble. So I got to get really good at checkers quickly. And I do, just because I have power of time and space, so I get really good at checkers.
Mm-hmm. This guy's good at checkers.
I go up against Hitler, and I beat him, and he's like, all right, fine.
A bet's a bet.
And Hitler, say what you will about him, he...
I don't know, man.
And I will say he's a piece of shit. But he stands by what he says, and he stands by his word. And so I stick around for a little bit, and anytime he's like, well, what if we like kill all these people? I go, no, Hitler, Adolf, buddy.
Bet's a bet.
Bet's a bet, my friend. It's either that, or I just show him Schindler's List and see if that affects him at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think checkers is more fun.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we're at the Hofbrau Brewery, so we're drug of skunks.
Yeah, and it's one of his favorite places.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and with good reason.
Yeah, you got him loose, feeling as positive as Hitler could probably feel.
Everyone's feeling great. Yeah. People are cheering whenever he, like, gets a king, and people are booing when I get a king. It's a good time, though. Yeah. Josh, how would you defeat Hitler?
Defeat him?
Yeah.
Or
change his mind.
Yeah. How would I change his mind? All right, I would also go back pre him getting steamrolling, like before he like really picks up steam. We're at the Hofbrau House. Yeah. We're fucking crushing brews. And I introduce him into something that, when shown to me, changed my life.
Oh.
Improv comedy. This man craves the spotlight. He wants to be loved. More so than I think he wants to fix Germany, because his solution is just to get adored and become a dictator.
Yeah.
This guy wants to be a dictator.
And
what is a dictator but a celebrity of the 1920s, 30s, and 40s?
Yep.
So I introduce him to, we do some Viola Spolin, we do some early theater games.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much in that mind of like people communicating. Did anybody see the documentary? It's quite good. The one that you were, a thinking head, a talking head.
Oh, no, I haven't watched the PBS.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty decent.
Check it out.
Rob's on the website. Check it out.
Oh, shit.
Answer some questions about improv comedy.
But anyway, so we start that. We start playing games, drunk in a beer hall. Everybody starts joining in. I was like, Hitler, you really got a chance at, like, making something of this. I want to put you in a short student film. So I do that. The acting bug bites Hitler so hard.
What's your short student film called?
It's called The Great Dictator. my buddy Charlie co-wrote it.
Sure.
But it's like wacky.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. And just spoofing him so much, he's like, God, being a dictator would be ridiculous. It takes off. Everybody loves it. He becomes a big superstar for acting. He does mainly not like family comedies, but they're like romance films. So he's like a young, attractive lead.
Okay.
And he beats up the bad guy. And the bad guy's a blonde person with blue eyes. And that sort of like sinks in subconsciously to him.
Yeah.
And then he's off to the races. We see similar photos of him addressing large crowds.
Yeah.
But they're at his movie premieres.
Yeah.
And he just, he dies in an old man having not killed anybody.
Oh, okay.
But having brought a ton of joy to the world.
Yeah.
And then I'll lead Germany, sure, why not?
I think you got some good ideas. Yeah.
Famous director. Me.
Yes.
That's how I convince Hitler not to do it.
Yeah.
That's our new segment.
Right. Yeah. That's our new segment. Spring that on your next guest.
Yeah, right. You're with Hitler.
How would you get him to not do it?
Yeah, you're sharing the drink you chose. How over this drink would you get Hitler not to do it?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets so famous, he gets his own Hofbräu line of beers.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They open up a little brewery, like Adolf's. Yeah.
The Scrikety Crikety.
Yeah, that's the one.
So
what other segments do you guys have? Yeah.
So, Goebbels. Speaking of things that... So we made the life better for everybody. But now we have to make it even better for the world around, but mainly you. In a segment, we want to know about a beverage you hate, despise, or revile. It's so evil, in fact, that you need to get rid of it and get eliminated from the world. We want to know what it is, how you're going to do it, in a segment we call...
Cork It!
I leave the table if she fucking drinks Merlot!
Cork It.
Yeah.
A vile substance.
While you think for a moment, I'm going to set up for our fall brawl.
Oh, sure.
All right. I'm going to go with Jägermeister.
Whoa. Jägermeister?
Jägermeister is toxic. It smells terrible. It tastes terrible. There's other ways to get just as drunk. I mean, like Jäger bombs became a thing. I don't know if they're still a thing, but if they are, kids, just don't do it. Yeah. There's other ways to get drunk, just as drunk.
Did you have a bad experience with Jaeger?
Yeah, it was started off to be a great experience and then it ended a bad experience. That's how it always goes. So I had, Grabo's heard this story a few times, but in this college, we went to a college in the Mitten called Central Michigan University,
Fire Up Chips.
And my best buddy from high school went to Northern Michigan University up in the UP. He stayed up in the UP. And I love snowboarding, and there's not a lot of snowboarding in the Mitten because it's all just flat farmland.
Pretty flat.
But so I went up to the UP pretty frequently in the winter, and would kind of crash at his place and be kind of like unofficial fifth roommate during the snowboarding season, which is 6 months long in the UP. And they're having a New Year's party. And so we were like, let's like do like a party favor for everyone that's coming by, right? And in Marquette, Michigan, they actually do a ball drop. You know, it's a town of like 25,000 people. They do a ball drop every year.
That's fun.
Yeah, downtown. And we're like, well, we're going to like have a party, have people over, and we'll do a ball drop. We all walk down and see the ball drop together. And we went and got two bottles of champagne, and we got a handle of Jaeger.
A handle. Way more than you need.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need a handle. And so the idea was, everyone, when they come through the door, as like kind of like a fuck you for being here, has to do a shot of Jaeger as they come in. And then the sweetener at the end is, before we all walk down, everyone's going to get, you know, like, can't, there's two bottles for the whole crowd. It's not enough for everyone to have, but everyone has a little swig from, you know, it's pre-COVID, so just share the bottle.
Yeah.
And everyone gets a nice little pull of champagne before we go for our walk down in the wintry snow to see the ball drop. So I was in charge of greeting people and making sure none of like the local high schoolers like got it, because sometimes they'd kind of sneak in the party stuff. Sure. I was doorman. And also in charge of making sure everyone got a Jäger bomb, right? Or not bomb, we just did a shot of Jäger. So everyone else got one as they came in and individuals or groups of two or three or four, right? Every time some party of whatever size they were would come up to the door, I would do one with them. Oh, and I didn't realize that this was a problem at the time. And because I was just feeling good, right?
See it all
right now. For a college, I drank a lot of water that day. I was still smoking cigarettes at the time, so I just was out on this
cool
porch. Yeah, very cool. Out on the porch, smoking cigarettes, seeing people. It's New Year's Eve, excited about this party. And so, I mean, I don't know how many shots of you. I mean, but it was many. It was many. It was more than half a dozen for sure. And so I was rolling by the time I we were hanging out, had a couple beers, and then we all had the champagne and started walking, and I was like, I'm wasted.
Buzzing, buddy.
And we, oh God, just hammered. And stopped by, we were stopped by another friend's house on the way down just to pick up some people who were going to come with us. And they were having a different substance that's now legal in Illinois.
Oh,
and someone handed me some of that substance, and I had a little bit of that. And someone said, Garce, I don't know if you should have that. And I was like, I know what I'm doing. And then I had one. And then that is the last thing I remember that night.
Yep. Oh.
And I woke up at 4 o'clock the next afternoon.
Oh.
Wow.
In my godfather's basement. My father's uncle, Bill, who lives in Marquette.
I
somehow ended up on his couch. And all I know is that somewhere then from I did leave that second house with everyone, but somewhere between that and the ball drop, I left the party.
Nobody had eyes on you.
No one had eyes. No one was tracking. They all went down. They're like, "Where's Jeff?" We don't know. Well, he must have gone somewhere. And I was usually among the more responsible people of that group. Mm. As Gravel kind of says, they're like, "Well, he must be fine because
he probably just got tired."
And I wasn't fine. I found out later that I must have just wandered around the streets of wintry Marquette, Michigan, for several hours, and then ended up in my godfather's backyard knocking over his trash cans, and then he went back and
bears back.
Yeah. No. Gun. It's my godson, and he can barely walk. And I must have, I knew where he lived, so I must have been drunk enough to find my way to I don't think I said I'm gonna go to my Uncle Bill's. I must have been on his block and Uncle Bill's house. Cool, I can go here.
Oh, fine.
Was there any evidence of a reversal of fortune?
Oh, what's that?
It's vomiting.
No, I don't remember ever.
So they call it the Nathan's hot dog.
I could, between the time I left the people and between the time I got to his place, I could have. I don't know. Yeah. There was none of my clothes, though.
Oh, okay.
So, and I didn't throw, but I had an outrageous headache the next day, even though it was 4 o'clock. But I slept. He woke me up a couple times to drink water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Uncle Bill has. Yeah. He's definitely had too much on more than one occasion.
He's no angel.
No. And he's been there. So he apparently, which I don't remember, have any memory. He's like, I woke you up a few times to make you drink some water, but then I slept until 4 o'clock in the afternoon the next day.
I'll do it though.
So it's already getting dark. The sun was already getting low. I was like, wow.
What day is it? Did I miss everything?
January 3rd.
And so that's my hatred of
shots of Jaeger. I'm at a party. Oh my gosh.
But honestly, you don't know. I probably did for sure. It was 100 people at the party.
Sure,
but
sure.
There were 30 for sure. Yeah. So I mean, coming in, I mean, I probably did, I would guess, 8, 10, 12 shots on top of the several beers and on top of some champagne.
Well, it's got to go. How are you going to get rid of all the Jägermeister? Yeah, right?
I feel like, I don't know, because I don't know what the college kids are doing right now, but I feel like they probably aren't as into Jäger bombs as...
They're butt chugging.
Yeah. As we were.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's dying a death on its own.
I still see it. I still see Jaeger places.
It is at when you go to I end up going to a bar in River North, I still see it as who wants a Jaeger? I'm no.
But I don't see it as popular, whereas
Well, you know what? You know where Jaeger comes from?
Yeah.
Germany.
Yeah, I do.
And you know who I could convince?
You know who
I
could convince?
If I could eliminate things from no longer being a threat to the German people, if I could redirect Hitler... claiming the enemy is Jägermeister. And I don't want anything bad to happen to the Jäger family.
No,
better the Jäger family than all the other people, the millions and millions and millions of people that died because of Hitler. So, even if he take, because the guy I think took things too far.
Yeah.
If he went so far as to not only say like we have to destroy their family business, but we actually have to destroy them and kill them.
Yeah.
It's not what I would want to happen. I'm saying I would make that trade.
I would make
that trade. Oh. I stand by it.
You're so gross.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
So that's my plan to go back.
That's good. No, don't like do it. You only have to use the time machine once.
Yeah. Hey, we remember me, right? Huh? Yeah. We go back. Do you remember in college? Jaeger was what got me. You and AJ were still at Central, and I had just graduated, but I was doing this internship down in Lansing. And I came up one night. We were at karaoke. I got hammered, and what pushed me over was a couple shots of Jaeger. And I remember throwing up in the bathroom at the karaoke place. Even the bouncer being like, "Hey man, are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm gonna go."
You can say it's Buffalo Wild Wings.
It was Buffalo Wild Wings. B3s, as you will.
Yeah.
BW3s.
Yeah.
I just remember like somehow getting to, I think AJ and Chapin were living together at the time, crashing at their place and having to get up so early to drive the hour back to Lansing.
What was his internship?
Is that a theater?
No,
yeah. It was fine, but it's like, ugh, just dumb choices. But fun still.
Yeah,
Jaeger sucks.
Yep. So how do you get rid of all of it?
I've created a giant mechanical deer, a stag, if you will, much like on the emblem of the Jägermeister. And this thing can only run on Jaeger. So, but also it can think on its own. So it's like, all right, well, if I'm running low, I just got to break into any liquor store or any college party and grab the Jaeger and take it in. And that's his only job, is to find as much Jaeger and put it in the system so it can continue to run forever and ever. For if this robot deer runs out of Jaeger, it will die. And I've programmed it to know that.
Yeah.
So it's got to get all the Jaeger out from parties to keep its fuel running. It's a simple plan. I don't see any problems with it. Josh, how'd you get rid of it?
All right, I have to get rid of all the Jaeger. Hitler's out. Mechanical deer's out.
Giant
stag. Robo stag.
The Robo stag.
Yeah, which was ironically my nickname in college. how am I going to get rid of all the Jägermeister? I'm going to make a catchy slogan. And it's going to be... Jägermeister, no mister. And I'm gonna make. We'll go back to the masses. I'll become a famous lyricist. I'll start this song early and often. It'll get stuck in everybody's head. It's like a little jingle. It'll live there forever. Whenever anybody goes to it, it's kind of like subliminal advertising. They'll be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then the market will take care of it, baby. When everybody picks it up, puts it down, nobody pays money.
It'll be
for
like,
it.
What does the fox say? Very popular for 3 months and then everyone will hate it. Yeah.
And then anytime I sell a fox, you just want to kick it.
Yeah.
Be like, don't speak to me. Eventually, long con over time.
Yeah.
Gets phased out, and we still got Rumplemints for people that want that sort of flavor but don't want to be like offended, taste buddily.
Yeah, you're so gross.
I've told my Jaeger stories a few times, but to catch you up, you haven't heard.
Tell one.
It mainly involves me catching up, which is the worst thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm late. I was at work. Everybody's partying. Yeah. Let me catch up. Yeah. And then waking up, not where I went to sleep, and the place where I fell asleep being pulled outside because it was covered in my own reversal of fortune.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to catch up and not overshoot.
Yeah. And it was also the first time I ever popped a blood vessel in my eye.
Oh, God.
But I didn't know. I had no idea. I got home and I was like, huh. I look like a Bond villain.
I've been very lucky. I've never done that. Have you popped a blood vessel from
throwing up?
Yeah.
Not in my eye. Definitely have had like some of the like is that, do I have early onset rosacea? No, I just... Storing up. I've definitely popped the blood vessels like in the face.
Sure. I must have done that, but nothing in the eye. Ugh.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
That being said, I think I still have some at home from previous guests.
We might have some on the bar behind you.
So, are we going to...
Not doing it.
Are we going to conquer the fear? I'm going to jump off this cliff. Are you boys coming with me?
He calls a pussy yet?
Yeah.
No, it's hard. No, me neither. I didn't want that.
No. Ugh, gross.
I'm just going to go to the bathroom right now.
What? Oh, Josh.
So good. Oh. To oh, no, yeah. Robostag.
Hitler, no!
They've combined forces.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a great, like, visual picture of all, like, yeah. everybody converging yeah. to get the last bottle.
Now that's a
we
movie.
Have to destroy. I need it to live. And there's like they're like tussling.
Yeah. This would be a fun. Hitler male deer mechazoid.
Yeah. Like, mechazoid, they like, combine like, forces.
Like, from, yeah. Or Voltron. Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Gents, hello Hollywood.
moving on. We I have to go make a cocktail. That means it's.
I gotta talk to Jeff.
Cocktail.
Oh, it's cocktail.
Segment.
Jeff, how are you?
I'm well, sir.
How are the Packers doing?
Packers are they have a very good team this year. They're 7-2. Their second loss was with their backup quarterback, who's never started a game before at the NFL level.
And we will get into level. Why the backup quarterback.
Jordan
Love
it. Yeah. No, we will.
Okay.
I will get in.
Let's get in.
And the fact that they almost beat the Chiefs in Kansas City with their backup quarterback and held the Chiefs to 13 points is very, very impressive.
All right.
But they have a they're having some quarterback problems.
Yeah, they're having some
quarterback.
It's a
shame. I don't know what to make of it because like, because Aaron
like
Rodgers has gone like. Kind of anti-vax.
Yeah.
He's got anti-vax, but he's very clear that he's like, I'm not against like all vaccines.
Yeah.
Like, it's just I had some questions about this one, but he clearly like lied by not lying. He said like, I'm immunized, and it's like you know damn well people think that means you're vaccinated.
Yeah,
and so it's the dishonesty that's causing problems for people.
Because he's becoming a beloved person for a little bit, even
yeah,
like outside
well,
he's
kind of the lovable asshole.
Yeah,
right?
But outside of football as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he had the Jeopardy stint, and
yeah.
like he's been popping up places,
yeah.
and like oh, like he's even like, even to the point where I, not a football, a sports
yes,
person at all,
yeah.
knew who Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah, yeah, and like would really recognize his face.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
and that's like he was lining up like if I was like if he actually. Goes from being a first ballot Hall of Fame NFL quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback,
yeah.
to being like the permanent host of Jeopardy. That is the most amazing transition,
it would be great.
Career transition anyone has ever made. Like no one has
no.
done anything. Like that's so well, insane.
He wasn't bad as the
and
host.
No, he wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and I he didn't end up getting it. And
yeah.
like, man, has someone's like intentionally tanked their own stock harder
yeah.
than this guy? And he's really leaned in, though, to the whole sort of, like, edgelord, like I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
You know who knows about vaccines? Joe Rogan. Like, he's just, like, fallen into, like, that. Like, he's like, I consulted
yeah.
Joe Rogan about it. I was like, oh, man.
Why?
And, like, it's really tough because I'm such a huge lifelong Packers fan.
Yeah.
And they're really good this year.
Yeah.
And it's probably his last year at the team. And, like,
ugh.
If they go to Super Bowl, I'm going to want them to win.
Of
but
course.
I want him to not
yeah.
win. And... I just hope I hope he wins the Super Bowl with them. I don't care. I want
yeah,
a Super
yeah.
Bowl with them. I hope.
Yeah.
Then
when
I
was
hope,
the last time the Packers had a Super Bowl?
10 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
So I mean, like we're
it's
a spoiled team. It's
sure.
not like I mean, you know, we're very very good teams.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, but I mean, it's still it's not like it's you know.
Yeah, it's not like it was like two in a
Patriots
row.
Patriots where it's
yeah,
like
absolutely.
They won like 6 in 12 years or whatever. You know,
fucking
and,
Brady.
And yeah.
Get out of my Hertz commercials, Brady.
Mission Charisma. But yeah, I hope he just kind of moves on.
Yeah.
And I was going to be like sad to see him go, but now I'm kind of like ready for him to go.
He ruined himself.
I almost like, I mean, I'm glad he didn't go like full mega, but
yeah.
like I kind of wish he did. Cause if he had, I'd be like, then I could just hate you.
Yeah.
It'd be like, he's like, just
this,
like
this wishy-washy thing he's doing.
He
nope.
always was an asshole, right? He's
yeah,
an asshole
yeah.
though. Like Michael Jordan's an asshole. Like he was a super competitive,
yeah.
super, like trash talky, like chip on his shoulder kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I always I've got one. Thank you. But like you know, you like him if he's on your team. You hate him. Like
absolutely.
Like, you know, I mean, like a lot of people here in Chicago give me crap about like, well, Aaron Rodgers is such like, an asshole. I'm like, right. And you loved Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And I love and like, but like, don't tell me that guy's not a gigantic.
You watch
asshole.
That documentary. You go, the three things took away from Last Dance were Michael Jordan is one of the best basketball players ever. He's kind of
the
an
best,
asshole.
And
yeah.
he's an asshole.
And I think he's a gambling problem.
Yeah, and he has a very big gambling problem. And
I'm not a pro. I'm just
yeah,
think he does.
Yeah. And so like. you know, I was always kind of like, yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, the guy is a dick. Like, yeah. I'm not saying I'd want, like, you know, him in my family. But, I, like, you know, I like his trash talk because he's on my team.
Absolutely.
And now it's just like, oh, man, you're such an asshole. You're such an asshole.
Joe Rogan. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't even get into that.
No, no. There's a podcast I listen to with a couple of comedians. Bert Kreischer.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it's like Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura. They have a podcast called Two Bears, One Cave. And I enjoy, it's just them kind of bullshitting, fun stuff. But, like, just, like, lately I'm just like, stop sucking Joe Rogan's dick. Good Christ. So he gave you a couple spots. Who cares? You know he's trouble. It just makes, it ruins the show for me because I know how much those two, and I don't think they're, I think Tom Segura is a smart guy. I think Bert Kreischer's a moron.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know he listens. But, like, it ruins it for me a little bit. Yeah. It sucks.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Nah. Huh. Maybe, should we give Joe Rogan a chance?
No. He had his chance. Thank you.
Now, I know I'm a little late to the party, but Aaron Rodgers, respect him as a football player, but now I don't.
You're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah. He's a good player. Like, you're like, okay, objectively, like, and, you know, I support the Bears because I live here, but also it's like, fuck that guy now. Like, he's a great player, but he's not a good guy. And it's just like, he was always kind of like, you're talking about, he was always like anti-hero or something. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, oh, he's kind of like full of himself, but he can back it up, like, because he's a great player. But how now it's like, fuck that guy.
How long has he been playing with the Packers?
He's been with the team since 2005, and he's been the starter since 2008. So a long time. So and I mean, like, the difference between him and, like Brett Favre, who obviously has had his own indiscretions and failures as a human being, but when he was a player, everyone kind of loved him because he wanted to be loved by everyone.
Yeah.
Right, like, he would trash talk, but, like, always in, like, a very, like, joking, like, trying to get him to laugh instead of hate you way.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Rodgers clearly has that, like, Michael Jordan, like, Tom Brady chip on his shoulder, where he's like, even more than Tom Brady, because, like, he's literally like Michael Jordan, inventing, like, ways that you've wronged him in the past so he can hate you and use it as fuel. And he's got all these things, like, he's had two previous engagements that fell through before they ever tied the knot. He's completely estranged from all of his immediate family, his parents, his siblings. And it's kind of like, you know, when passed, I was like, I know this guy's a dick.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, who knows what his family's like. You know, like, so two sides to every story. Absolutely. Like, they could be after his money and, like, whatever. Like, you know, and, like, and now it's kind of like, when everyone else is always an asshole, you're the asshole.
Yeah.
Like, it's you. It's you, buddy. Like, and it just sort of colors everything.
What a dink.
Shame.
Yeah. Well, he won't be there next year, right? I mean, that's the rumor.
I doubt it. No.
Because he's old for football terms.
Yeah, he'll be
quarterbacks can be older.
Yeah, he'll
again, I don't know sports stuff though.
Either 38 or 39. Oh, okay. So I mean, like, he has more games behind him than in front of him, for sure. Yeah. But I mean, Brady's showing that, and he looks so, I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got 3 to 5 years still in him. But
I assumed he was, like, in mid-40s.
No. He's younger than Tom. Okay.
And he's still producing. Like, he could go to a good team and, like, make them better.
Sure.
100%. He makes the Packers better,
Yeah, oh, that poor Love kid.
I know.
He just looked overwhelmed.
Did not have the right stuff. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he was ready. Like, he could be a good guy, but, like, everybody when they come out is kind of, like, shitty.
Yeah.
But he was bad.
He's buried. But some people are like, you know.
They're like, we should get rid of him.
Let's say, like, you know, there was, like, Peyton Manning, who came in and were like, yeah, you threw more interceptions than touchdowns your first season as a starter, but, like, you're going to be good. Yeah.
Like, but didn't look scared by it.
Yeah, you didn't look terrified of him. Yeah.
Football's great, right, Rob?
I love it.
I'm back. Favorite sport. Cocktail time is officially getting more started.
Oh.
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Or Jeff, do you have a preference?
I always introduce myself by Jeff, but I don't really care. Okay. You can call me Jeff, Jeffrey, Garce. People call me
Garce.
Garf or Garceau.
JG.
JG. My mom calls me that, so I'm going to say no.
Well, that's where I got it. Anyway, we don't have to get into that.
Cocktails.
Each episode, we have a guest. That's you. They bring a beverage. That's the Hofbräu Original.
Uh-huh.
And we make a cocktail based on that drink for them. This is what you have in front of you.
Okay.
I'll tell you the name of the cocktail, and then you'll drink it. Hopefully enjoy it. But if not, be honest. You have to get a letter grade.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you what's in it. So you're about to enjoy, fingers crossed. This is called Jeffrey Juice, or Jeff Juice, if you prefer.
I'm very much okay when it comes to what kind of juice I am. I prefer Jeff Juice.
Jeff Juice.
Jeff Juice.
AKA the Garso Griddle.
Oh.
So tuck in, you know, let's see what you think.
So you're not going to tell me anything else about other name?
Do you want to know it?
If you don't want,
I want to have an unbiased sip. There's definitely Hofbräu Original in there.
Yeah. For
yes.
Listeners at home, there's bacon in it. That's what I can tell.
Yeah.
I can smell it. It smells like kind of candied bacon, or there's something candied and sweet in there.
Except for the bacon.
Ooh.
Is it maple like candied bacon, maple smoked
this
bacon?
This is Dunkin' Donuts snacking bacon.
Oh!
Snacking bacon.
Okay.
So everybody can have some. Including Rob.
Oh, thanks. I'm part of everybody.
Mmm.
Oh.
So, some sort of, this is very refreshing. It's a little bit, it's pretty summery, because I taste citrus. Is there citrus in here? Is it orange juice?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's orange juice. I'm French, so actually I pronounce it the orange juice.
Orange juice.
Pamplemousse.
And the candied bacon, I don't taste, but the candied bacon provides like a it infects my palate with a sort of
there's no bacon in the cocktail.
Right, yeah.
It's very much a garnish.
Yeah.
But there is something that's on the bacon in the cocktail. So I'll tell you.
There
is a shot and a half, ounce and a half of rye whiskey.
Beautiful.
To that we've added 1 ounce of orange juice.
Oh.
Half an ounce of maple syrup. And then 6 ounces of Hofbräu Original. That's it, baby.
Oh man, it's simple.
That's like very good. Yeah, drink. Yeah. No, yeah. That's the thing is, it does. It tastes very breakfasty. It tastes very summery. I'm a rye guy, so you made a good call with that over bourbon.
What kind of
it's,
rye?
Templeton.
Nice.
Oh man, nice.
It's the last of it too.
So there's a shot of maple syrup. That's why I smell. Is the bacon candied as well, or
yeah.
Like,
does oh,
it,
yeah.
Is
there's
it like,
definitely maple on the
yeah,
bacon.
Yeah, maple on the bacon. Okay. Very, very. I mean, I give this like a solid like 8.5 out of 10.
Whoa,
that's
number
like
grade.
Yeah. Like a B.
Yeah,
B plus.
Yeah, B plus.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, well, it was great.
Yeah. And I mean, 8.5. So I mean, you get an 8.5 out of 10. It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
A minus.
A minus.
Hey, well, here's what I would say is that like
we love 8.5.
This is
ten
a
line.
Very like summery, like it's because it's all the citrus.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
say like if it was not blowing snow outside,
was
it would be a solid like 9 out of 10. Like, you know, like, yeah. And, but it, like it's kind of the mood, right?
Yeah.
But it's very very good, very well constructed. So
I'm on a
you.
Lifelong journey to make better and more brunch drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
You're good at them, yeah.
And this is
it's one of them. Yeah.
Tasting the beer again for the first time, I was like, ooh, it's slightly bitter, but it's like also slightly sweet at the very front.
Yeah.
And I was like, do we lean into the bitterness or do we sweeten it up a little bit? And so I ventured on that. Then also I had a delicious hollow French toast the other day.
Ooh.
And it really like set my mind to breakfast.
Can't be beat.
Damn,
man.
That sounds good.
And I thought about
did
saving
you make it or did you just go somewhere?
My roommate made it.
Oh.
And I thought about saving a piece and like putting it on a thing. And I was like, it's not going to... Cold French toast isn't going to...
No. Cold bacon's okay.
Yeah, yeah,
cold
yeah.
French toast is a no-go. Right.
And shout out to Dunkin' Donuts for their delicious snacking bacon. That's how
it's a bag of bacon.
I've
never seen this. I've
never
heard of it. It's a bag of bacon like a bag of French fries.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like
they're doing
maple
the same
and
with
pepper on
mini
it.
Pancakes now too. You just get like a small bag of
snack pancakes.
That's what it's called on the thing. When I went to the drive-thru, I was like, "Yeah, can I get a side of bacon?" She's like, "Snacking bacon."
I will say, snacking pancakes is something I've heard of because of camping and backpacking.
Oh, sure.
Like you need some like quick, you know, like like easy to digest, like carbs, you know, like hit your system. But I've never heard of snacking. Bacon.
The closest is jerky.
Yeah, that's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the jerky again,
snacking
backpacking.
Absolutely,
that,
absolutely.
But not snacking bacon.
Yeah, snack
bacon.
I never eat jerky anymore. I used to all the time.
I'll grab it every once in a while. This is like a snack. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what
I'm trying. Jeff, can I try the cocktail? Do you
you can.
Yeah.
How are we doing on this fall brawl?
About 3 more minutes.
Perfect.
What's fall brawl?
So fall brawl.
What we're doing right now.
We've this whole fall. You've been having two treats that are very fall-centric compete against each other. For the longest time, it was Oreo cinnamon cider donut. which shouldn't be good, but was.
Apple cinnamon cider donut?
Apple cider cinnamon donut Oreo flavor.
Oh.
So it's Oreo apple cider donut. Oreo.
Yeah, that shouldn't be good. I thought you just said the donut. I'm like, why wouldn't that be good?
Oh, no, it was Oreo. Yeah,
yeah. Oreo.
It was surprisingly good.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it.
For four,
a long,
five?
The closest rounds? Almost beat it was the, before our current champion, was the Kit Kat pumpkin
spice
bar,
yeah,
which I have some if you want.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah.
First one's like, oh,
if you're
not bad.
Primed by the sweetness of the apple cider donut Oreo, the Kit Kat tastes pretty good. But if you do it without it,
yeah,
it's like,
good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that bourbon adds.
I'm actually going to make this for when it's winter.
The
breakfast.
The show notes, it will have the recipe too, so you can find
good.
It. But before we get to, before we get to Fall Brawl, we have another segment we call Oh Boy Extra Drinks.
Oh boy, extra drinks.
Now, when I was in Binny's, as I love to go to Binny's and walk around, the Binny's at North and Clybourne finally has one of my favorite beers in the whole world, Shiner Light Blonde. I mentioned
you
the
love Shiner.
The Spotsel Brewery in Shiner, Texas. You couldn't get this up here. They were importing Shiner. First, it was only Bock.
Yeah.
Then it was like some of their seasonal stuff.
The Shiner Christmas beer is really
Shiner
good.
Cheer, which they haven't changed.
Shiner Cheer, really you've seen around here.
They have cans now, and I almost got that too. Oh, there was another one. Sorry, we'll get there.
No, but we can do a whole thing on Christmas
yeah.
beers.
Oh, yeah.
Whole thoughts on Christmas
and we have.
Beers.
There's a Bud Light seltzer eggnog.
I heard about this.
Well, maybe we'll do it later
bit.
But cheers. I love this beer. I brought it to share.
Thank you. Cheers.
I'm going to watch the Cowboys game I'm taping. I want to drink this beer.
Well, that's good.
Just a light.
Yeah, it's a good light
smooth
beer. Again, it's like an upmarket Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's
so much.
Light done right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 99 cals, 3.4 carbs.
I like Shiner. They do good stuff.
That's I can't think of anything more to say than like it's a solid like American Pilsner.
Yeah.
But with a little bit, it's a Miller Lite which again I'm a huge Miller Lite fan.
Same,
but it's just like this is just
it tastes like beer. It's a light beer that tastes like beer and not like corn.
Yeah.
Good. I'll have to keep an eye out for this.
Mm. But I immediately, I was walking
but
around.
Low-cal and what's the ABV on this?
It's probably like 4 or something, right?
4 something.
It's only 3.4 carbs. Where is the ABV?
In Texas. Oh, 4.2. Yep. So yes, that's like right in line with like a Miller Lite. So this is a...
Can have a couple of these, feel okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. And there was a 12-pack and I was like, the first thing I picked up. I was like, okay, well, I forgot what we're here for.
Like a thing if you're watching football at 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
you can
sit back and drink one per quarter and not be like, I need to go to bed at 4 o'clock.
Or my head hurts. Or also one of my favorite, it's when it's like fucking hot as balls.
And
you get
yeah.
like an ice cold Shiner Light Blonde, you're like, oh, this is heavenly.
Yeah, it's good.
Baby.
We've had several drinks at this point, as you can tell as we're singing. Christmas beers. I'm not a big fan. Shiner, there's only two that I like.
Shiner Cheer
I like, and then Anchor Steam.
Yeah.
Out of California. They have a really good
Christmas.
Yeah, their Christmas ale is very good. But generally I don't like Christmas ales too much. There's like, they're kind of like a try hard of a beer.
Yeah.
You know, if you could call a beer a try hard, like it's just like we're trying too much with the cardamom, too much with the cinnamon.
What do you keep beer at home, and if so, what do you stock?
I don't like always have beer in stock. Always have like a few bottles in our wine rack, but
what wine are we drinking?
I really like to try a lot of different stuff. I've gotten more into whites the last few years. I'm really into El Bondigo's. No, not El Bondigo's. What the hell are they called? Start with an A. El Bondigo is a Mexican meatball, which are delicious also, by the way. I don't know. It's going to take me too long to look up. But I'm into white ales that taste like the sea. And so you can get some good Sauvignon Blancs that have this, that they almost have a little bit of, the high minerality, which is tough to pin down because it's not even really a thing. And like, people love to advertise the minerality, but there's can be an actual salinity into some of like very dry white wines, and that's what I've been very into because I've been cooking a lot more seafood at home.
Ooh, yummy.
And nothing better with like salmon, which is pretty fattening, like really fatty fishes that you need something with a good really, bite to have kind of cut through. Yeah, and like so, Sauvignon Blancs and other like dry white wines that if you are looking at the back of the bottle, it says it has like a good salinity, even a little bit of salinity to it, like go with that.
What seafoods have you been cooking?
I make just a lot of local Midwestern fish. I do a lot of whitefish, a lot of trout, a lot of perch. Farmer's Market, they actually, is the only place you can find, it's really hard to find, you can find perch in grocery stores, but it's almost always ocean perch.
Yeah.
But at the farmer's market in Rogers Park, they actually sell lake perch. So I'm just pan frying lake perch like crazy and grilling a lot of trout.
Been trying to be not as much red meat lately.
Yeah, yeah, same. So, yeah, that's, you know.
Fish is good for that.
Doctor said my blood pressure's a little high. I'm gonna start taking a couple pills.
Oh, yeah.
Not me. Except exactly me.
Blood pressure.
I think we got diagnosed like the days within each other. So.
You go, do you treat Josh?
Help me document these pills. Well, so we hashtag Fall Brawl. It's officially kicked off. Rob, tell us about our current champion.
Our current champion, which won last week, is the Pillsbury Pumpkin Spice Cinnamon Roll. You can find it at a local Jewel for now.
For now.
This is currently our champion.
Seasonal.
These are fresh out of the oven, so they might be a little hot, gentlemen.
Well, it's okay. We're not going to eat them yet.
Oh, okay, that's right.
The challenger goes first.
So, Josh, what do you have brought? It's a challenge.
Okay, this might not be a great challenger, but we have Hostess Ice Pumpkin Cupcakes.
Okay.
Limited edition. So, also, you gotta open the box. It's really...
I'm going to say, Hostess... Chocolate cupcakes?
Yes.
They're great.
Yeah.
My mom's favorite, like, favorite thing. Like, she still is, like, when we are, like, you know, like, when she comes up and visits.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, I'm right at the gas station, like, my thing. She's, like, Hostess chocolate cupcakes. Oh, I'm, like, okay. She'll eat them, too.
Oh, like, look. These little treats. Like, I love a zebra cake. You can just grab it at the gas station at 7-Eleven. These are good.
Ice pumpkin cake with creamy filling. I'm not a Hostess cake guy.
Yeah,
they're fine.
They're not, but also, I mean, and I was telling Rob earlier, I was like, I was kind of worried about a non-fresh baked good going head to head with a fresh baked item.
I mean, they're not that, but it's Pillsbury, so just like, I pop the tube.
Well, yeah, but they are fresh baked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
They're not shelf stable.
No.
It's actually the...
This, on the other hand, is shelf stable.
Feels pretty good.
You know what?
It's not bad.
Huh. And you know why it's not bad?
Why?
Because it's not dry.
That's true.
That's what I was worried about.
That's true.
There's way more cream filling than I thought there was going to be in this.
Yeah.
It's very moist.
I'm getting a little pumpkin, but also like immediately I first get like, this might be a visual thing too, I get like a little carrot cake flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it finishes real pumpkin-y.
Yeah.
That's, yes. It does have a pumpkin finish, but it's pretty much a carrot cake thing too.
It's not bad.
It's like, tastes like... More than, because you ever have spice cake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does taste more like spice cake than pumpkin cake to me, because it's very heavy cinnamon. Like there's almost like a pepperiness to it.
You know, pumpkin is very artificial. Duh.
I don't mind this.
No. They're not bad.
No.
Hostess, nice job.
Yeah. Combine that with some snacking bacon.
I will say my expectations were exceeded.
Yes.
I will say that.
Agreed. Agreed. I thought it was going to be bad.
I did too. Well, the box will stay here. And then our champion, let's see if we can pull out the W again. Oh, it's so hot.
It's so hot.
Take this plate.
So they're going to listen to this, our listeners are going to listen to us going, making yummy noises and chewing for
Josh a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll cut it down to a point where it's not annoying.
Or it just starts getting annoying.
You know what? Just loop it for a little bit, would you?
No.
It's like one of those YouTube videos 8 hours long. And they do.
Eight hours of yummy noises.
Who needs this?
No commercial.
Yeah.
No ads.
I mean, I can nut at just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Don't need 30 minutes.
I burnt the bottoms of them a little bit again.
No, nothing wrong with that.
That's true, okay.
Nothing wrong with a little birch.
Old burnt. Man, the pumpkin spice rolls are still pretty good.
Oh.
It is a toughie.
It's not tough. The Pillsbury's better. Fresh baked's better. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wrong. I'm going to go Hostess Cupcake.
I'm going with the Pillsbury.
All right.
They're just better. They're fresh. They're warm. Like, I don't know.
It's a texture thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a little bit of crunch with my soft.
Mm.
There's no crunch to the Hostess.
A lot of times when I get the Hostess, I put them in the fridge because that gets a little crunch, like the frozen frosting.
Oh, yeah.
The frosting
was. When you have to bite when the frosting cracks a little bit. Yeah.
Oh. The frosting was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But I guess it has to be to not stick to the plastic.
Yeah.
And to last on the shelf for a couple months. Yeah, I'm going with Pillsbury pumpkin.
What are your favorite, like, 7-Eleven sweet, not savory, like, or salty, but your sweet, like, snacks?
Zebra cake? Yeah.
Like, now and when you were, like, a kid, too, and got them a lot more often. Always zebra cake?
Yeah, or I would get the Hostess, like, the regular cupcake.
Yeah.
The Hostess
chocolate
cupcake.
Yeah.
Candy bar wise, maybe a Musketeers. Sure.
I love Peanut M's, always have. Used to get Snickers a lot as a kid. But if we're talking, like, cakey thing.
Yeah.
As a child, I would fucking go apeshit for the apple pies. Like, the, like, fried pies that are, like, in that, like, wax
display
paper.
Case, yeah.
I think Hostess made it originally, but, like, there was a lot of, like, cheap fucking Texas, like, knockoffs or whatever. Yeah. But Hostess was, like, the fancy one. Currently, apple fritter. The apple fritter from the case, even though I don't know where they make the donut there, it's pretty good. And it, because of the texture, is supposed to be, like, a harder, chewier.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't taste ever stale. It just tastes like a densely baked item. And so I crush an apple fritter.
About you?
Hostess cupcakes were always big. The Hostess little brownies, individual brownies were always big.
Sure.
And also, if it was more of a take-home thing, Edmund's coffee cake.
Ooh,
I would still house an Edmund's coffee cake today, even though I live in a global metropolis.
I feel like
I can walk in any direction and in under a half a mile hit a wonderful bakery and get something 50 times as good for $2 more. But I will still, if someone brought I like the cherry or like the cheese, just the cheese, the cream cheese, like when I was like a kid, the cream cheese Edmund's coffee cake, just mouth through.
But
that.
It's wild to think of if you're at a party, like, oh, we have this one cake, it's from this very professional bakery, it's small mom and pop owned, or we have this Costco sheet cake. It's like, oh, I'll get a Costco sheet cake. I don't know why. Knowing me, I'll have both. But
yeah,
we gotta compare.
Yeah,
I had a I love pie. I'm not a big cake guy. Mm-hmm. I had a pecan bar from Dunkel's, the bakery on Lincoln. Dinkles.
I love Dinkles.
The ratios were off. There was too much filling. There wasn't enough nuts, and the crust, because it was like a centerpiece, was all soggy from the like filling.
Mm.
Like, it had no like chomp to it, so it was very disappointing, and I was like, I wish this was a pie where you get more crust on the end of it.
I mean, pie season is upon us.
I pre-ordered my Thanksgiving
desserter, but if I had to choose, if you had to get rid of cakes or pies for me, I would definitely choose pies. Or I'd choose to get rid of cakes. Pies are pie guy.
I'm a cake guy.
Yeah,
I'm a cake guy.
My favorite dessert is my mom's strawberry rhubarb pie.
Oh, sure.
Strawberry rhubarb pie is like the one.
Yeah.
I do love a good fresh apple pie with a little ice cream on top. That's a good dessert.
Strawberry with like a cream puff with like it's like cut in half and the strawberries are there and the cream's on the top.
Yeah,
ooh. Ooh, and it's fresh.
Guys, you go get a pie.
We can get a pie.
Should we get a pie?
This next segment's called, let's get a pie.
Now,
it's just us walking.
We never talked about it, but you brought us pizza.
Yeah, I did bring us
pizza. Oh, we
did.
We like to promote local businesses. Please, yeah, so off the Bryn Mawr Red Line stop on Bryn Mawr Avenue in Chicago near the lake is a place called Flower with a PH.
Flower.
Come on. And they are a professional bakery. They sort of present as more like a coffee shop, you know, because you see people in there, like Loyola students, doing homework and stuff. But they are much more of a, they are a bakery first. And I mean, they do wedding cakes. So they're like a professional bakery and their bakers are tremendous. And they were doing pizzas and I wanted to bring over something. I didn't know if you would have snacks. I thought you would, but I was like, well, if we're going to drink a bunch of alcohol, I want something in my stomach.
It was really good. It was nice and spicy.
Yeah.
Nice and spicy. They made homemade sausage that was like, came in like freaking cubes. Yeah. Like it was like big, fat cubes of sausage.
Like ice cubes,
and no coins here. Cubes. And just like, remember you get the cubes of like pepperoni in like school? But yeah, spicy sausage and like spicy. fresh cherry tomatoes. Yeah, very
sauce good. Wasn't too much. No, like, no, it was good. I tried again.
I was a little bummed because I got the last piece. It was a corner piece, but the bread was so good.
I was not mad at all.
Relevant snack. Okay, this is also the plug section. We want to know anything that you are enjoying, like something you've been watching or playing or reading that you want to share with people, or anything that you're doing that you want people to check out.
Yes, I'm in a one-man show. No,
it's really good.
Starting with Flower.
Yes, Flower.
Flower.
As far as what am I watching these days, Succession. It's my only appointment show. Sure. I always have one appointment show. You know, on-demand revolution is absolutely it's a good real. Thing.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have one thing that you feel like I have to be at home to watch this at this time. Yes. And that is Succession for me.
I've been waiting for a couple episodes to come out. Yeah. I like to take my time.
You do? We plug in. And then I'm reading Team of Rivals, which came out a while ago. But that's that Doris Kearns Goodwin book on Lincoln and his political genius and how he managed the Civil War and his presidency, but from like kind of power politics standpoint, not just like, and then the soldiers went here, and then they went here, and then this many of them died. But it's much more of like interpersonal dynamics and managing public opinion. Very interesting. Very long, though.
Oh, yeah?
These good histories are so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I would like to plug. Literally. Doris Kearns Goodwin, historian, wonderful.
Help.
It's succinct. Like it. Rob, anything you're doing or watching?
Oh my gosh. You can still come see Clued In, an improvised murder mystery in the style of Agatha Christie. Saturday is 7:30 at one of the small theaters at Second City. I don't remember which one, but our poster's outside of it. You can also come see Comedy Sports, where Josh and I perform on Fridays at 8 and 10 and Saturdays at 6 and 8 at the Den Theater.
There's extra shows for the holidays.
Extra shows coming up for the holidays. We also have new shows coming out eventually. Oh, yeah. Hopefully, New Year. It'll be fun. And then, what I've been watching. What have I been watching? I like to have a quote unquote serious show, but also like to have a couple sitcoms. So my serious show is still working through The Americans, still very, very good. But I just started the Mary Tyler Moore Show because I used to watch it all the time as a kid on Monday night. I'm about three in. And I'm like, okay, we're getting there. And it's like, okay, writers, you figured out that they're having more fun in the newsroom than they are with Mary's troubles at home. So stick with the newsroom. We're going to be A-okay. But it's good. It's very 70s, but it's like, it's a very sitcom-y, but it's fun. Yeah. It's good background if you're like also kind of on your phone and whatnot. But yeah, that's all I got. Josh?
Hello, I'm Josh. You're talking about appointment television. I think the only thing that's appointment television for me right now is the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
Every Friday. And
Binge that one. Yeah, wait, and then...
It's so good. This is not a spoiler, but this week they did No Dairy or something. I forget it was called Free From Week. And it was a blast because everybody was like, you could tell nobody was comfortable because they're like, we don't have the things that we always do.
Yeah. How do you keep this moist without milk?
Yeah, it was. And I learned new things because, you know, I eat dairy or baked goods, flour, gluten, all that shit. So it was a really interesting episode. I'm trying to think what else I've been enjoying.
I watched Office Space the other day. Hold up.
It does. Yeah, you know, I was just wondering. I was just having a hypothetical about it. I wonder if that one holds up.
It's on one of the streamers.
And probably it's HBO, like, maybe.
Because we watched the original. My mom was in town. We watched the original Vacation.
Oh yeah,
and it does not hold up.
Sure. Still funny moments within it.
Yeah. It's just a mess. Sure. Like it's a like that script just needed like work.
It's like
the Pig and the Poke one. Is that where they go to Europe? No.
No, that's European Vacation, which has always been known as an atrocious movie. Right? But the original Vacation is like a classic.
Wally World.
And the original Vacation is still a classic in that it like defined like the road trip comedy, right? Like so, like it still was very groundbreaking, but that story is just like bouncing around, and you're like,
it's a lot going on,
and yet nothing going on, and it's just it needed the sort of modern treatment that you get in Hollywood. I think.
And that's why you love the reboot
with
sequel.
Ed Helms.
No,
Vacation.
No, but like it's funny because like everyone says like you know I mean like critics will be like Christmas Vacation is the second best one. Yeah. Like it's like so much better than the first. Like it's like far and away the best one.
I think it's the best. Yeah, well, and I like Vegas Vacation. Much, right? I think Vegas Vacation is not great, but I think it's fun.
Vegas Vacation was fun. But I haven't seen it.
Not the best.
Years.
No. The Christmas Vacation.
When that guy's frying the chicken up on the rock.
Yeah.
What a great bit.
But no, Office Space, like, it's dated in the sense of, like, oh, this is, like, early 99, so, like, computers are still new to the world.
The ties are out of date.
Yeah. But it's still, like, there's still some very funny moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I recommend it.
I saw X-Track the other day for the sort of sister.
Oh, yeah.
From the manager's POV instead of from the employees.
I never saw that one.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. I had seen it in the theater, and then we watched it on cable recently, and it was still funny. Like Mila Kunis.
She's not bad.
Yeah. there he goes, Jenny Horsecock.
What is she doing?
I think she's just married to Ashton Kutcher, having a couple kids.
They have kids?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, she like disappeared, and she's pretty talented, and she's not like. Unfortunate. It's unfair, but in Hollywood, when you know, when women start getting older, they start getting at least different roles, if not as many.
In those Cheetos commercials with her husband.
But she's like. Gotta she's be good. Like she's like our age. She's not like that old yet. Yeah.
She was in that spy.
World.
She was in that spy movie with Kate McKinnon. Oh, I can't. It was not bad.
Mm.
I can't.
Spies like us too. More like us.
Yeah, Doctor Doctor.
Still spying.
Still spying after all these years.
Where were? Oh yeah, plugs. That's it.
Great.
Something else I'll plug.
Oh.
The Regal Movie Pass. I'm gonna go see another movie on Monday.
Oh, what are you seeing?
It's like $20. I think I'm gonna go see The French Dispatch finally.
Oh, it's good.
Before it leaves the theater.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see movies in the theater again. It's so nice.
I have been. It's great.
Yeah. We have one last thing to do before we let anybody leave. Unlock the doors. And that is our end of the podcast here. So grab the closest beverage to you and repeat along with me.
Whatever your glass, put a toast in it.
Click, click, click.
Drink Shiner.
Terrible. I was gonna do so much with my son. I don't need this.
Cognac keeps you peppy. Rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink, but it'll keep you on the run. Whenever you want a drink or two, choose the drink that pleases you. Drink your mash, talk your trash. That is the right thing to do. Latch, champagne makes you happy. Vodka keeps you thin. Tequila makes you want to fight. But I'll try them all over again.